Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, we're continuing our series from the retreat that I did for a neighboring church. They had a men's retreat, and it was my joy and privilege to worship with them and share with them from God's Word. I hope these messages are an encouragement to you, and I hope that you'll let us hear from you. If you've got questions, or if you want us just to pray for you, if you have a need that you especially want us to pray for, we're glad to pray for you. Let us hear from you. But right now, let's hear together from God's Word. I don't know if you noticed between here and the cabin, but we have a structure called the bullseye. And it's a shooting range, both for archery and also for riflery. And sometimes people are even known to practice with handguns. But we have a shooting range called the bullseye. From time to time, when our students are not here, we use that to host a group called Appleseed that comes in and trains people both in marksmanship and in American history. And those are two things that I think are valuable. My wife decided that she would like to take the training in riflery. So she went down and they loaned her a rifle to use. It was really a nice thing, and they gave good instruction. They had everybody lined up on mats, learning how to, you know, take the right stance, lying down, how to take that sniper's stance, and then hit the target. My wife came within 1 point of being certified as like a master marksman. Okay, that's not the right term; they call it something else. But she would have gone way over the goal, except for the fact that her first series of shots, when they were all done shooting, they got up and went out to check their targets, and she hadn't hit anything on her target. But the guy next to her had twice as many holes in his. Okay? And at that point, she realized what she had done wrong. Talk today is aim carefully. Aim carefully. You need to know what you're aiming for. You need to be chasing the right goal. Because, see, if you're a really good shot but you're aiming at the wrong target, I think Jesus put it this way: what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? You heard about the guy who said he spent his whole life climbing the ladder only to find out at the end it was leaned against the wrong building. I mean, that's what happens a lot of the time. Even to people who are believers, they chase the wrong stuff. They're going after things that, as we said last night, can't satisfy. Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you." So I just want to start by asking you, would that be an honest description of your agenda? Is that the way you live your life? Are you seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, or is that something you kind of try and fit in? You know, it's not that I'm not interested in the kingdom of God, but a man's got to make a living. Do you? Chrysostom was asked by a fellow in the church, you understand that when I do this thing at the pagan temple, it's It's not because I really believe that. I just have to do that as part of my work. You understand. And Chrysostom said, no, I don't understand. And he said, well, I have to make a living. And Chrysostom said, do you? And the man said, well, I have to live. And Chrysostom said, do you? Do you really have to live? Whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for Jesus' sake will find it. If it comes down to you got to take the mark of the beast or you cannot engage in commerce. You cannot buy without it. You cannot sell without it. You can't make a living without it. So, well, I guess in that case, I mean, everybody's doing it. If it's what's required, I mean, if I have to, I've got to provide for my family. You will never do anything that is better for your family than to obey God.
Amen.
I'm not planning on being here when they're giving out the mark of the beast. I'm a pre-tribulational premillennialist, and I believe that God's going to just rapture me on up. Okay. Well, I hope you're right. I'd like to go with you. But I'll tell you this. That particular eschatological view is not real popular in mainland China. The folks in Nepal, Sri Lanka, lots of other places around the planet, Left Behind series didn't sell real well. All of us have been promised by God that anyone who would live a godly life in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. That's in there. Anyone who would live a godly life in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. Are you sure that's in there? Yes. God says so through the Apostle Paul. So if we think we can just kind of adjust our behavior in order to not be tremendously inconvenienced by our pursuit of the kingdom of God, we aren't pursuing the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All the other stuff will take care of itself. That's Jesus' promise. Now, we know that's true. The question is, do we do it? I know that if I will eat right and exercise, I can quit taking Crestor. Okay? But it's so much easier just to take a pill. You know, then I can go downstairs and have muffin. But here's the deal. Every day, you and I are making decisions all day long. And if we don't orient our decisions around a compass point that says the thing that overrides everything else is my devotion to Jesus Christ, I want his will above all else. If we don't do that, then we are not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're going to be living like the pagans, chasing all the other stuff that Jesus says, your father knows you need that. He'll take care of you. He will take care of you. If you don't know that our country is in serious trouble, you're just not awake. We're in serious trouble. Our economy is inflated like crazy by a government that is printing money backed up by nothing. Just churning it out. Why? Because we got to prop it up, because if we stop, it all comes crashing down. Well, how long can you do that? I don't know. Just keep blowing air into the balloon. It's not as if this is an experiment that hasn't been tried before. It's been tried all around the world throughout history. And every time the results have been the same. Collapse. If you are seeking security in something other than the Lord, you're making a big mistake. The only place of safety is in the will of God.
Well, I thought you said that we'll suffer persecution.
Yeah, much, much better to suffer for righteousness' sake than to suffer because you refuse to do what God said. The storms are going to come either way. Jesus said, if you build on the rock, when the storms come, it'll stand. If you build on the sand, when the storms come, it'll collapse. Either way, the storms come. You can't build in such a way that, oh, no storms. I literally know a guy from Knoxville who spent a fortune building his dream house at the beach. He built it out of concrete, looking really nice, but built with concrete over wire mesh in order to withstand a Category 5 hurricane. It was a beautiful place. He did a lot of the tile work himself. I mean, it was pristine. It was a show place. Utilities were underground. A groundskeeper managed to cut through the insulation on an underground power line without getting into the wire itself, just sliced through the insulation. The water rose. The power arced. Thank God they weren't in the house when this happened, but the neighbors said that the place began to glow. And gradually, the whole house looked like a giant toaster element. Okay? All that metal, all the frame, everything, all that mesh, the whole thing, all totally charged with electricity and just building. And it melted and collapsed. This house that was built to stand against the storm totally collapsed. And it was forensics that figured out what happened. This guy said, I spent 3 years building that house. I believe God now has my attention. Let me just tell you something. If you're thinking you can structure your life, your finances, whatever, in such a way that they are stormproof, you better be believing what Jesus said, and that is, the one who hears my word and puts it into practice is going to be building something stormproof. But the one who hears my word and does not put it into practice, it's all going to come crashing down. It's all going to come crashing down. So what are you aiming for?
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Ken Boa, in his newest book, Rewriting Your Broken Story, book I recommend to you. It is a good read. If you don't know Ken Boa, he's written a number of other really good books as well. But Rewriting Your Broken Story by Ken Boa. One of the sections in there, he talks about false goals. And he lists five main ones that he's seen seduce people over the years, including believers. Goal number one, false goal number one, wrong goal number one, pleasure. Living for pleasure. That's how porn hooks us. It actually excites the same pleasure centers in the brain that cocaine does. Which is why there's a craving and a desire to go back to what made me feel that way. Can't satisfy, as we said last night, cannot satisfy, but it does temporarily excite those pleasure centers in the brain, and it's like, I gotta have some more. Which is how cocaine hooks people. I gotta have more of that. I gotta do that again. But it can't satisfy. You need more and more, and it will destroy you. If you're living for pleasure, whether it's sexual pleasure or food pleasure, if you're living for pleasure, you're aiming at the wrong goal. What about approval? There are a lot of people in ministry who are addicted to approval. When I pastored a large church in Atlanta, people would walk by and shake my hand after the service and tell me it was a wonderful message. It was tremendous. Thank you so much. Oh, you've done it again. I really enjoyed that. I used to complain when I'd get home. I'd say, you know, I stand there and shake hands with all those people and my hand hurts. Okay. When we moved up here, and I didn't have that anymore, I still don't, 25 years later. But when I moved up here, I missed it like crazy. Sunday would come, I'd go hear somebody else preach. I'd think, well, that was really good, and I'd shake their hand, and somehow it wasn't the same. You know? I mean, I'm shaking their hand, and then go get in the car, use some hand sanitizer. But, I mean, what happened? I didn't realize, I didn't dream how much of my sense of well-being was dependent on people saying, good job, great job, great message, thank you so much, oh, that really spoke to me. Until it wasn't there anymore. If you're living for approval, you'll do all kinds of things you shouldn't, and you will not do things you should. Because you want approval. You want people to like you. We're hardwired to try and fit in. Okay? Even when we try and stand out, it's so we can fit in. Have you noticed the things over the years? Some of you have lived long enough to see the ways that fashions change. And you know, if you're like me, when it first comes out, it's like, oh, that's a fad. That's stupid. I remember that from the 60s. And then, you know, after everybody's adopted it, it's like, well, I don't want to be the only guy who still looks like the 80s. So, you know, and then we finally buy it when it goes on sale. And, of course, that's stupid because that's when they're about to switch to the new thing from the 70s. And, you know, I've dealt with all kinds of folks and all kinds of subcultures. There is pressure everywhere to fit in, whether it's gang paraphernalia or at the nursing home, how are we going to behave? I'm telling you, people at the nursing home still experience peer pressure. It's just ridiculous. But it's true. We want to fit in. We want approval. We want people to think well of us. If that's what you're living for, if that's what you're aiming at, if that's where you get your sense of well-being, I'm telling you, it is a false goal and it will lead you astray. Then there are some people who actually aim for fame. I mean, I don't know how many of you in this room, probably statistically, not many of you, that's your real goal. You know, you're hoping to be famous. But there are people who've done horrible things because they saw it as their path to fame. Okay? People who committed grotesque crimes because it was their chance to be on TV and in the spotlight and in the newspapers and all that. That is a very twisted mindset. Most of us are not going to be tempted to do something horrible in order to be famous. But if you think when you see the lives of celebrities that that would make you happy, look at the lives of celebrities and you'll begin to see that they are not a very happy group of people. I mean, many, many years ago, there was a wonderful comedian by the name of Red Skelton. And one of my favorite Red Skelton stories was he said, I went to see a movie in the theater, and he said everything was fine until all of a sudden a voice yelled out, "Hey everybody, Red Skelton's here!" And he said immediately I was mobbed with autograph seekers and so forth, and pretty soon I was sorry I'd yelled. Right? Oh, the paparazzi, they're driving me nuts. I can't get any privacy. And then as soon as they get privacy, they have to go do something nuts, like get photographed topless. I mean, why do they do that? Because they have to be in the public eye. If your goal is fame, if you just want attention, if you want everybody to notice you, hey, everybody, look at me. You do realize those are the last words of a redneck. Hey, y'all, watch this. But if your goal is fame, it's a false goal. It'll leave you empty. But what about wealth? We talked about last night the fact that money can't satisfy. And yet how many people are thinking, if I can just make this much money, if I can just get to this level, if I can just have this much saved, if I can just pay off my mortgage, if I can just do this, then we'll be good. Well, why? Think about Elijah. Here's a guy who knew how to pray and see miraculous answers. He spent a significant portion of his life in a ravine where he couldn't even have a little garden plot. His only food source was what was airlifted in. Remember the story? God sent ravens to feed him. So he waits every day for the bird. You know, I know I'm something of a germaphobe, but the idea of having to get my food every day from a bird's mouth, I would say that's not a real good living situation. But I'm thinking, you know, if you're the man of God, if you're the servant of the Lord, you ought to have a nice place to live, right? Like by a brook in a ravine. If you and I think that we are entitled to live comfortably because we are the Lord's people, you know, I mean, after all, we deserve that. We love God, therefore, we ought to be the dominant cultural force just by virtue of the fact that we love God. Jesus said, they're going to treat you the way they treated me. You can count on it. If you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you.
Well, that's it for today. We've got more tomorrow. Be sure and tune in. And if you miss some of this series, you can get the whole series for free by going to our website, wvr.org. We're always glad to share God's Word with you. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.